So, well, first of all, happy Independence Weekend to everyone. Title's going to be, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. One thing I like to focus on surrounding the July 4th time framing is reminding myself that the holiday is not just about hot dogs, cookouts, swimming, and fireworks, as most people think. Especially the fireworks. People like to... I've even had some started a month ago. So it's like, come on, people. Wait till July. Good grief. The 4th of July is all about... is about the country founded, rooted, and established on the Christian principles. In keeping with that tradition, I would like to remind us of some of the words our founding fathers said in regards to this. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." George Washington, in his farewell address to the nation, said, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of Americans' patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." President Thomas Jefferson, in an address to the Danbury Baptist, "The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government." How far have we detoured from that? They actually turned it around and put it the other way. "We have no government armed with power of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our constitution was made for a moral religious people. It is wholly inadequate of the government of any other." That was John Adams. So you can see our country was founded on Christian principle values. And oh, how far we've deviated. America was founded on the concept of freedom to worship not any god, but on the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. Look how far the country has taken us from that. Like the patriots before us, they made some bold declarations and paid a high price and reaped the reward greatly for what they were trying to accomplish for the future. The Christian, we too make a bold declaration. If you are here today and you call yourself Christian, you too have made a bold declaration. Do you remember the day when you stood before the body of Christ, when you came forward and confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, proclaiming your desire to be a Christian? You, at that time, pledging your allegiance, your devotion, your loyalty, your dedication, and your commitment, your very life to the Lamb of God, to Jesus Christ. Understand that you were at that time proclaiming what Paul proclaimed in Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." It is a very bold declaration to say that you will no longer live for yourself, that you will no longer seek your will for your life, that you will no longer live for the things of the world, power, pleasure, popularity, and possessions, but rather that you will seek God's will for your life, seeking to do what pleases Him far above what pleases you, declaring that He comes first. This declaration is as bold and powerful as the one Joshua made in Joshua 24:14-15. "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." When you came to Christ, you pledged your allegiance to the Lamb. You were making a very bold declaration. Like the patriots from long ago, we also must pay a high price. Dan? got a short video I want you to watch. It's going to explain it very, very well. And actually, it's called I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. We've seen in other countries where pastors or people who admit their faith are imprisoned and are killed. And there's been several lately. Not only in other countries, but it's even here. Reminds me of the little girl from Littleton, Colorado, when the shooter came into the school. And she was under the table. He walked up to her with a pistol out, put it to her head, and said, "Are you a Christian?" She says, "Yes." And he shot her. So it happens here. It's not as bad as what our forefathers had to do and go through, but it is getting worse. And like you know, the song said, we used to in school be able to pray. We used to be able to carry our Bibles in school. God is no longer left in schools, unfortunately. And then they wonder why the crime rate and the shootings and stuff are so bad. It's going to get worse, I'm afraid. So, something to look forward to. It's one thing to make a bold declaration in the comfort of a church building, but it's quite another to live up to it, to pay the price, to fulfill the declaration on the battlefield of our daily lives. Most times, saying words is the easy part. The actions are much tougher. You know, on that day when Joshua made his bold declaration, he was not alone. Others did also. They said the same words. In Joshua 24, 16 and 18. Then the people answered, Be it for us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. What a declaration. By the nation of Israel, they were pledging their allegiance to God, but tragically, it did not last long. In Judges 2, 11 and 12, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods and people around them. And I've often thought, how could the Israelites do that? You know, you're thinking, we do the same thing daily. We're high up here on God, then all of a sudden we're way down low and worship other things and not put God first. So we're as guilty as the Israelites. Understand, wars are not won by those who only make declarations, who only speak words. No victory is seldom achieved by those who lift only their voices. Unfortunately, we who are in the Lord's army find out, just like the Patriots found out in the American Revolution, that our war, for many reasons, is hard to win. For one, in our bold declaration, we challenging an empire that is very powerful. We are declaring war against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. We are taking a stand against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are real battles to be fought, real struggles to overcome. We are called in Scripture to finish the race, to fight the good fight, to endure hardships like a good soldier. Yes, we are in a real war, and we have a real enemy, and he does not like it when someone opposes, challenges, or defies him. And our enemy, Satan, will attack us, pursue us, tempt us. He will try to make sin look good. He will at times come at us head on like a roaring lion. And other times he will appear as the angel of light. We have seen this in our church lately. Apparently our church is doing something right. We are being attacked from all sides. Satan is not happy about all the good things that are going on in this church. He has tried on several different levels, from making people ill, causing hospitalization, to causing conflicts amongst his people. He will try whatever he can do to break us up or to hurt or encourage it or discourage us. He wants us to fail. This is when the people of the church need to become the army of God and stand up to these problems and see through what he's trying to do. We need to defeat that dirty scoundrel. We need to tell Satan that we serve a risen Savior and he's not him. We can ask Satan to be bound and he can't hurt us. We need this time to remember my favorite Bible verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All we need to do is ask. He is more than willing to help us. He is always there for us. And not only is the war hard to win because we have an enemy, but another reason is because not everyone is committed to the war effort. Not everyone who claimed Jesus as their Lord has lived up to their daily lives. Let's make no mistake about it. There is a high price to pay to fulfill our declaration that Jesus is our Lord. Our Lord demands total, radical, unswerving allegiance. And the fact that he does is no secret. Jesus made this clear to us when he walked on the earth. And Luke 9:23-26. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet to lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. There are severe warnings in Scripture about those who merely make the declaration, who speak only words, who only make the claim, such as in Luke 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only he who does this will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many, many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. They claim to know God by their actions, but they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for anything good. Titus 1:16. What is it that gets in our way of people keeping and fulfilling their declaration? I think most of us mean when they gave it, but I don't think that they were lying about it. They had good intentions. So what gets in the way? The answer can be found in one simple word, self. We get in the way of our pride, our opinion, our desires, our convenience, our will, our way. Many will say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, but in reality, their allegiance is still to self. That is why Jesus says we must pick up our cross and deny self daily in order to be disciples. What do you think Jesus means by the term, pick up your cross? Is it our job, our spouse, our kids, or can it be anything that holds our value? To the people in Jesus' day, picking up cross usually meant only one thing, death. When we say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I received as my Savior and Lord, that is a bold declaration. And to pick up your cross daily, to deny self, to die to self, is a high price to pay. But the reward we reap is a great one. Is it worth it? Only you for yourself can answer that. Reap the great reward. John 8:32. Then I will tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed in us. And then First Peter 1:3-4. He has given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can perish, I can never perish, spoil or fade, keep it, kept in heaven just for you. It also says that the church will be established so that all people can come to know Christ as Lord. A place where the good news will be preached to the poor, where freedom will be proclaimed to those in captivity, where recovery of sight will be proclaimed to the blind, a place where the burdened and oppressed will be released, a place of hope for hopeless, a place of joy despite circumstances, a place of peace beyond understanding, and a place of love, forgiveness, healing, and acceptance, and a place of the new beginnings. That's not all. One day, we will reap what is perhaps the greatest reward of all. One day, we will stand before the Lord in His glory and receive the crown of life, which He gives to those who love Him and long for His coming. And we will hear that voice, we will hear those words of all ages, the voice saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Revelation 7, 9 through 17. "And He will, in our new body, join the great heavenly choir that is circled around the Lamb." The declaration is bold. Jesus is my Lord. The price is high. Die to self. But the reward is great. As a closing, I would like to just read one more Bible passage. This is the vision of what we need to do for our country now. Our country is so removed from what our founding fathers set it up to be. Many new laws have changed our country, some good, some bad. But as Christians, we need to stand up and become the people that God wants us to be. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." My friends, this country needs this prayer desperately. Please pray. God bless you guys, and hope you guys have a great day. And continue remembering why we have the freedoms, why we have. We have so many long before us who gave us those freedoms and paid dearly for it. I guess, and as we as citizens need to continue that so we can continue having those freedoms.